So let's see. We're going to try to do Siman Reish Mem Chet in Or HaChaim, which is all about taking a cruise and then other transportation on Shabbat. Shabbat on Shabbat. So, question is, are you allowed to take a boat trip, getting on the boat before Shabbat, and traveling on Shabbat? Yes, no. Why, yes, why, no?
What I heard, you're not allowed to go like from 3 days before Shabbat.
There you go. Okay, that's what it says in the Braita.
Yeah.
In the Gemara Shabbat Daf Yotet Amud Aleph, it says.
I don't know how much it applies today. In why was the situation that you are like you are gonna get like you could get what astray? You could what happened? Like it's right. Not you're not gonna go. You're not gonna be able to get to your destination. So I don't know. It's not going to be so I don't know exactly what's the reason, but I know that it's 3 days. And basically, like, you have to do it from 3 days beforehand. I don't know
that's
if a cruise right now, it applies that rule right now. We have to
We'll figure it out. So what's the reason behind it? Very good. So it does say that in the Gemara, 3 days before is mutar. 3 days comes up in other things. For example, it says you're not supposed to go to war for a shoot. Obviously, if you need to go to war to defend your country, you can go to war even on Shabbat or the Yom Kippur war. But if you want to conquer land, so then when are you supposed to go? You're not supposed to go and siege a city. You're not supposed to go to that war and deal with sieging a city within 3 days of Shabbat.
Specifically, 3 days.
Okay. So there... The reason is because when you go to war, when you siege a city, it doesn't happen. It's not start and finish in one day. Everybody knows it takes time. Mm-hmm. At least it's going to take 3 days. At least going to war, sieging a city is going to take a little while.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be there over Shabbat, in the middle of a war, then you're going to have to mechal Shabbat because pikuch nefesh, then you have to. Yeah. Once you wage, if you didn't wage war at all, then there's nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry about.
But once you wage war, then it's going to become pikuch nefesh at that point.
To you're creating the situation.
So exactly, that's exactly the idea. The idea is, it looks like matne lecha v'al Shabbat. It looks like it appears that you're coming to do something that's going to be mechal Shabbat. Now, you're setting up situations which will be mutar, but they're chilul Shabbat b'heter. So you shouldn't. So it's a zilzul of the halacha of chol Shabbat b'heter to set up a situation like that.
Right.
Meaning,
that's like zilzul Shabbat, basically. That's
zilzul
like
Shabbat, a little bit like that. The language the Baal HaMor uses, and we'll talk about this more, is matne. You're making a tnai. You're making a stipulation, like you're setting up l'chal et Shabbat. Matne l'chal Shabbat. Why does 3 days help? Well, so what, 3 days, if you do it
because
all...
Because before 3 days, it's like, you're not doing it for that reason. You're like, you're like already setting up before time. And even if it's going to be Shabbat, you know, like, at the end of the day, it's like, probably...
Very, very good. It was not in your mind. That wasn't what you were playing. You didn't need to consider Shabbat. Now, some can connect this with a Gemara and Gittin that has a phrase, Kame Shabbat...
Yeah.
Is from Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is considered before Shabbat. Acharei Shabbat is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Shabbat's the middle of the week. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday precede Shabbat, get you ready for Shabbat. Yeah. And after Shabbat, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And, you know, 7 days, if the day in the middle is Shabbat, and that's, you know, definitely represents Lein Chashuv. It brings the Kedusha to the whole week before and
so
after.
So what is the day? The Wednesday? Basically, what's the
so according to this, those Rishonim is going to say Wednesday.
Is it include Shabbat or not? That's a question. 3 days before Shabbat, meaning like it's...
Right, exactly. Including or not including. So this is not including. Meaning 3 days is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you can't go on the boat.
Yeah.
Before that, it's already like, I just finished Shabbat. I'm not thinking about the next Shabbat. I'm thinking about the last Shabbat.
Yeah.
Right, and there's a Shita. If someone forgets to make Havdalah, Motzei Shabbat. When's the last time you can make Havdalah?
Tuesday.
So there's a Shita, you can make it all the way up to Tuesday. So it sounds like Ikar in Shulchan Aruch, it's not Yesh. Ikar in Shulchan Aruch is like that, you can make it up to Tuesday. Yesh Amrin, that you shouldn't make it past
Sunday.
Well,
how are you going to eat?
No, he made a mistake, he ate. I'm sure most people are not going to fast till Tuesday.
So it's very Abad.
So it's a Machloka. First opinion is you cannot make Abdallah after, you can make it up until Tuesday. It's first opinion, that's Stam. Stam and Shulchan Aruch, v'hayachol and Avdallah. The yesh are other opinions brought. One of the yeshes is you cannot make it past Sunday if you ate anything. So that's what Chacham Avadi says. Something Baruch Hakel, you can't make Avdallah with Shem Machur after Sunday night if you ate something. Most people ate something from Saturday night to Sunday night, and we're talking mm-hmm. past Sunday night to Monday. So between Saturday night and Monday or Tuesday. So most of the time, the people are making Havdalah Monday, Tuesday, or something like that, for Chacham Avadi without a Shem Machon. But Ashkenazim usually follow the first opinion. That's the Mishnah Berurah. Definitely seen people do like that. They do the Havdalah on Tuesday. It's obviously, not on purpose, obviously, by mistake. Anyway, though, so if you think Shabbat in the middle of the week, then you have stuff before and you have something after, probably. So then we can understand before Shabbat, you need to think about Shabbat. It's a machloket, though. The Beit Yosef sounds like it's that. That's the idea that Wednesday, 3 days before Shabbat, includes Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The Gra says it doesn't go like that. It goes including Shabbat. So Thursday, Friday, Shabbat is the 3 days.
Shabbat is the 3 days.
Yeah, but it's the same concept. The concept is, before Thursday, Shabbat doesn't need to be. You don't need to be considering Shabbat, what's going to be on Shabbat. Fine. So let's see all the opinions here. In the there are two columns. Right? The Mishnah Berurah has
two columns.
First this he has Hine. No, this column is introduction. Apologize. So we're gonna look at this introduction over here. And then we're going to go over in this side, and we'll start the actual Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch. We'll go back to Shulchan Aruch. Before I went to Shulchan Aruch, I went to this introduction he has, because he really summarizes everything that's going on over here. See, the little Aleph, I'll turn up the volume, but we have the Aleph in the Mishnah Berurah over there. He says, Yesham Rim Hatam. You see where that is? Shem Yitzrach Yisrael Asom Al Chaba Asmo Mishum Pekoch Nevesh Makom Sakanahu. Just like we said with the war, same thing could be true with the boat. It could be that the guy going on a boat is going to sail and then get into a storm or get into dangerous waters in the middle of the ocean, and then he's going to need a Mechal Shabbat because, look, he's in the middle of the ocean, he's lost, whatever, something happened. And then if he doesn't deal with it right now, he might capsize, he might get lost and it'd be really bad. So he's in the middle of the ocean with his boat, so he has to Mechal Shabbat. Then he has to do Melacha to fix the boat, sail the boat, make sure to deal with it.
Nowadays it's not so common, if you realize.
Not so common, it's true. But even then, let's just explain. What are they doing on the boat? So on a regular day, if it's nice and sunny, in the olden days, I'm talking about in the days of the Gemara, what do they do on a boat?
Working.
How do they work on the boat? They had to put up the sails, tie the knots, take down the sails. They turn the sails to move in one direction, stuff like that. Put the anchor in to check if it's too deep, or put in the ropes, pull them out. How many melachot? Not so many melachot, but the tying knots could be some melacha. It's a fancy knot. Or putting up the sails, could be fixing, could be building, could be some melachot, but not such serious melachot necessarily, some things that could be avoided. For example, if it's nice and clean, it's clear out, they don't need to do anything. They sit on the boat, the sails, the mast, the sails are all set, everything's ready to go, and they turn it. Turning is nothing, it's not going to be a melachot. So if everything's going well, no melachot is going to happen. If they're getting lost, or if there's a big storm and they have to take down the sails, or if one of the sails rips, or something like that, they have to fix things, so then it's going to be a melachot. That's what it used to be. Today, all the boats are not working with sails, and they're working with electricity. They're working with motorboats, even the big cruises, they're working with fuel. They're working with electric motors. So that, there's computers that run the boats automatically, but there's still people that oversee all the computers, just like a pilot in an airplane. There are people that sit and watch. It's on autopilot, and it's driving from place A to place B, but there's a captain of the ship watching, and all the computers go right, and when something is, when some button or something alerts them, lights go off and say, this is happening, and that's happening, it's a big tie, something like that. So I have to make sure that everything's right, and they click some buttons every time that something's going wrong. So the melachot that are happening today are still malachot, for sure. It's not like they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
But there might be electricity, it might be Durabanan.
And it might be the captain that is doing it.
Yeah.
It's the captain.
Yeah.
Does that make a difference? Probably, I think.
Yeah, it depends. Because the captain is still going to do malacha. If he's a Jew, he's doing malacha for me. If he's non-Jewish, okay, so I have to deal with non-Jewish malacha. Yeah. I mean, Lenachar, as I talked about before.
Okay.
But the likeliness of being Mechalel Shabbat because there's a big storm and you're getting lost, that type of thing is much less likely.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. That's the first one, but we're going to keep it in mind because it's very important. In terms of the bigger question, when should you try to avoid getting in situations of pikuch nefesh?
Okay.
Two. Bet. Svina avuro kela v'shar chilulim. That there are going to be non-Jews on the board that are going to work and taking care of you, doing things. And this doesn't have to do with a storm. This has to do with anything. They're just fixing the stuff on the boat. They're dealing with the stuff on the boat. And that is still relevant today. The first thing is less common that there's going to be a storm and you're going to get lost. But it's more. It is very common that they're goyim on the ship doing malacha for you.
The Chafetz Chaim lived in the times where there were cruises.
Cruises? Not really. I don't think so. I don't think there were fancy cruises then. Jews went on in those days at all. Like the Titanic and stuff like that. There were 100 years ago. There were, but those were really rich people took and not Jews.
He wasn't so...
I don't think he was writing about that.
Yeah, okay.
I think he was writing about what it was in the days of the Gemara. The same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That people took boats, but there are goyim on the boat that do things, that fix things. So that's still very relevant. Gimel... Oh, Mishum is her Tchumin. So this is very irrelevant and important. You can't go more than 2,000 Amot outside your place.
You have to go before. But before.
Yeah, but let's say you go... What do you mean go before?
You're living not 3 days before. 1 day before. What's the problem?
What do you mean if you leave 1 day? Let's say I leave on Friday.
I don't know. You can leave... Okay, what's the Tchum?
Tchum is like... If I live
Leaving a place, or is it like walking 2,000 a month wherever there is one?
Let's say, more than 2,000 a month. So a guy who starts Shabbat in the middle of the desert. He gets dropped off in the Sahara Desert in some crazy reality show that they drop someone in the desert and ask him to survive. So he's in the middle of nowhere. See, it's Shabbat. How far is he allowed to go? 2,000 amot, no more. 2,000 amot is not a lot at all. It's like 6/10 of a mile. It's a little more than half a mile. That's it. It's you can walk for. Slow walking, very very slow walking. A mil is 18 minutes, but it's really not for the way most people walk today. It's about 10 minutes. You can walk a half a mile in 10 minutes. That's it. You can walk half a mile. That's from here to the other side of the height. That's it. It's hardly anything. So, if that's tchum, on the boat, it's gonna take 5 minutes on the boat, 2 minutes on the boat. They're gonna pass tchum. Breaking tchum, yeah, it's a problem.
Okay.
So there's a big kula when you're in a city, not on the ocean, but in a city. Just to explain, when you're in a city, all the houses are adjacent to one another. It's one big unit. Mm-hmm. So then you're not considered going out of the tchum until you leave
2,000
outside of the whole city. Right. Okay, good. So in New York City, you're pretty good to go. You can go the whole city, and then it's a discussion about going over the bridge, like the Manhattan Bridge, Brooklyn Bridge. But many people do it, and many pros come hold it's fine. But that's a discussion. Could you go over
the bridge?
The island. Could you leave the island? But yeah, assuming you could. So then you can go extremely far.
That's crazy. That's a discussion.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think twice that you could do it.
No, it's called a different. Like it is a different borough. There is a water, a small river. There is a small difference, and it's more than. It's a different city. In halacha, a different city. Just because in America we call it New York City doesn't make it a city alfi halacha. So it's a discussion. If it's a call difference, it is not. It has a lot of details in tchum. We make it into a square according to the cardinal direction. A big discussion. It's important. But there are certain shittos that would say it's asur. Lots of shittos that would say it's mutar. And then going over the GW, it's much more complicated. GW is more than half a mile. The whole GW is very far to walk. But they're still making Lame Rav Will. He's very Mekel. You can really go according for him. It's a machloka. Anyway, he holds you can really walk all the way to New Jersey, miles and miles past Teaneck, because it's all connected. And GW aside, it's including the, if you box off New York as one big city, it includes the GW. So it's a big discussion how to draw the Tchum. But with cities today, many a time, people don't have a problem with Tchum. Because they stay where they are.
No one thinks about that meta nowadays.
Yes, and many a times there's it's not a big deal. But in the ocean, so you're not a city. Yeah. So you don't have these kulot. So what do you do if you're traveling on a boat in the city, so in the middle of the ocean?
So with all this, right now, even 3 days before, you cannot do it.
Yeah, we're going to have to see. Is there any way to do it even more than 3 days? Exactly. So far, you can't even do it more than 3 days. Exactly. Let's see.
Okay.
Harif's in that little paragraph in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, Harif's firlei di'imishom chashash malacha o tchumi evade asur. If the issue was a malacha question or a tchum question, it's a problem. Of course, it would be a problem even more than three.
Yeah.
That's definitely not okay. That's not the reason. If the reason is malacha, you can't do malacha more than 3 days. Malacha is always a
problem. So when Hazal made the decree, they were thinking already about those things.
No, if you do that, that's a problem. You can never do malacha.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you can avoid the malacha, great. But then why they say you can't go on the boat? Oh, because you're going to avoid the malacha. There's not going to be malacha. Tchum, we'll get around. We'll talk about how you can get around. So you're not going to have tchum issue. You're not going to have the malacha issue. You're not going to do those. So then what about, what's the contention, what's the discussion? Oh, the Rif says, this is Shulchan Aruch's opinion, this opinion, is Oneg Shabbat. You have to enjoy Shabbat, you have to have a meal. So a guy sitting on a boat, and we're not talking about a cruise, in their day, they didn't have any fancy boats.
Yeah, they had boats that would go from all the way to the world to the next also.
Yeah, they did have boats, they went very far, but not the same fanciness. We'll talk about the main thing though. A guy sitting on a boat, is going to get seasick. And doesn't have good weather, he doesn't have a good place to sleep, and he's going to be miserable.
Yeah.
So if the guy's going to be seasick the whole time he's sitting on the boat, uncomfortable and has bad food and smelly and cramped and whatever, not a good place to sleep, so he's not going to enjoy Shabbat. So you shouldn't do that, except if you're there for more than 3 days. What's the difference in 3 days? The difference is we get used to it. A guy starts taking a ship a day before Shabbat, 2 days before Shabbat. The first few days is the most miserable because, like, it's different. Different what you're used to. You're getting seasick. But after that, okay, you already get over it. You get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to take boats for months or for weeks. I once met a person, he passed away since, Rabbi Spinner, Chashuv person. He said he grew up, when I met him, he was in his 90s. His parents sent him from Europe to America to come to Yeshiva University. This was in the 20s, I think, or in the 30s. This was years and years ago. And he said there were airplanes, like, wasn't a thing. It was very hard to get. So he said he took a boat from Europe, and it took him like 3 weeks to get to America. Then he came to YU. He didn't like it. He left. But he said he took a boat. And that was like the way everybody traveled, and a lot of people traveled in those days. So it took a long time. I'm so not used to that. I've only ever been on boat, like, for a fancy boat. Anyway, so on a cruise,
this doesn't apply so much.
A lot of it's different because the way that the boat's not rocking back and forth because of storms. It goes slowly and consistently. So it's definitely, in terms of seasickness, much better. They also make medicines today that people take. Dramamine, they have things you could take if you get headaches, like, from them that deal with it.
More comfortable.
Yes, so there's definitely a good reason that the Oneg Shabbat today on the boat, especially a fancy boat, is much better. Okay? So who said that? That's a big opinion, and it may make it mutar. A big opinion, according to that, for a person who doesn't get bothered by sickness when they go on a boat, especially fancy boats, they sell expensive trips.
This is a big problem because people actually have, like, little yachts.
Yeah.
So well, they go out on Friday because it's the weekend. They don't have work during the week.
Yeah,
that's
so,
a problem now.
So we'll have to see all the issues, but we'll get through them. We'll see which issues we could solve. But in terms of Onik Shabbat, Halacha Brura and the Kaf HaChaim say if it's a type of boat that's fancy and the guy, it's a type of person that doesn't get bothered and could have food and drinks and would enjoy their Shabbat on the boat, that, then it's going to be mutar.
Even for before 3 days? No.
Not going to be... One second. Yeah, yeah. Even within 3 days, mm-hmm. as long as we can avoid these other issues. Okay. Now, that's a very important opinion to rely on. The quote here, Rav Eliyashiv also agreed with that, and Rav Shechter also said like that. So that is a very important opinion. Rav Moshe Halevi, Menuchat Ahava, is not as sure about this. Rebelsky was not as sure. There are those opinions who are, they quote here, of Nissim Karelitz.
It's Karelitz. Hard to go like Mekel against Hassan. It's
yeah.
Hard.
Nissim Karelitz, who passed away last week, Zecher Sadiq Lebracha, Shabbat Shalom Aliyah. He was a nephew of the Chazon Ish, a tremendous gadol. Lived in Bnei Brak. He wrote 20, many, many, many Sfarim, big Talmud Chacham. And so he writes also, it applies to Sfino B'Yameinu, meaning, how do you know how to mechalek between what's a fancy boat, not a fancy boat, what's a onik Shabbat, here, there?
They don't make that differentiation in the Gemara.
No. So that's why he's not so excited about this. But there are lots of postgame that are mekel. And there's definitely good opinions like Halacha Brura, Rav David Yosef, to be relying on to say that's fine. Rav Al Yashiv, there definitely are. Here they bring me Melech Yitzchak, Machmir. There are those Machmirim, but I think there are many for Mekel because of the Onik Shabbat. Okay? Now, okay, let's see though any of the other issues. Okay, fine. Dalid. This is, Dalid in the Mishabra over there. So this is an opinion Tosafot has. When you go on a boat, it looks like you're swimming. What's wrong with swimming in Shabbat? So swimming is a gzera in the Gemara and Beitza at the end of the Masechta, that you can't go swimming in a river or ocean on Shabbat because you're afraid you're going to make a raft. You're afraid you're going to take a branch, you're going to take a piece of wood, whatever it is, you're going to take something, piece of wood, craft it, or take anything that floats in the water and make it into a raft so you don't drown. So that is a sort of swim in there. Swimming in a swimming pool, totally different discussion. In terms of that particular gezeira, Be'etzim, it does not apply to most 99% of swimming pools. Don't have any real waves, and they have walls. But it's a big discussion. You should go swimming in a swimming pool on Shabbat. Yes, Shama Lismoch, but it's not really in the spirit of Shabbat. It's not really the best thing. It's not really the best thing to be involved with in Shabbat. Anyway, there's a guy, Eli Sadiq. He wrote an article about swimming Shabbat. He wrote it up from the Yaakov Yosef. Yaakov Yosef, I think, has 8 different reasons why not to go and swim on Shabbat. But he says on each and every one of them, he says, you could be lenient. But the conclusion is, even though you can believe in every single one of them, it's not a good thing to do. One of them is the bathing question. Is allowed to bathe in hot water? But it's not hot water, it's cold water. The minhag, Ashkenazim, and Sfaradim don't have such a minhag. Okay, mutar. In terms of bathing, cleaning the clothing, it's clean water, okay, Yishamah Lesmoch, Shulchan Aruch, fine. In terms of schita, the hair, drying, carrying, hotzah, the gezera over here, Bashad, swimming, everything is a discussion. But definitely, there's a lot to be mekel, no question. But it's not a good thing to be doing. the people that are doing that are also doing, it's the wrong crowd. That's not what our Shabbat is supposed to be about.
Yeah, we know that it's like swimming is not like the one that keeps the right Shabbat.
No, it's often associated with listening to music and barbecuing and going to the beach and... It's not the right atmosphere even going on in a swimming pool on Shabbat.
For Ashkenazim, you can't really in
the according to Ashkenazim, it really should be asur to go in the pool on Shabbat because they have a minhag. It's a minhag, but it's a real minhag that they're not allowed to go into full body cold things. Now, there may kill on that minhag for certain things, like what? Going to mikveh. Okay. Chassidim go all the time. they go on Shabbat. Okay, that's for a mitzvah. And for other sorachim, but there's not a sorach. So yes, for Ashkenazim, I would say definitely not to go in a pool. For Haredim, I would say you should not go in a pool either, but like, okay, can be mocheh if someone does. Can't say you can. Okay, anyway though, so some Rishonim in the Tosa says that's the reason you can't take a boat, because it's like swimming. Now, if you say that, then there's no reason to be mekel, the cruise or our boat, like, if you think it's a gzerah, so it's a gzerah. It shouldn't change between their time and our time. So that reason, if we held like that, that would be a real reason that should be asur. So that reason is, it says it's asur. But then why is 3 days make a mutar? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Kodesh Shloshim Yamim Shari Dali Dishu Tzrei Lafleg Zman Harbei Ela Hekera. Why don't you go on a boat 3 days before? Everybody knows it's slightly, it's different than swimming. Okay, swimming and going to boat are similar, but not identical. And therefore, since you went before, there's a hekera, there's a reason, so that's going to be mutar. Okay? That's the whole discussion over here. We had those four big reasons. Okay, the review. First one is because of Chil Shabbat, when there's going to be a storm or something going on, and I'm going to have to mechal Shabbat for it. Second thing is because the goyim doing malacha for me. Three is because of tchum. Four is because of Onik Shabbat. Okay? Which one do we hold like? So let's already read.
Which one?
Shulchan Aruch. Maran. Shulchan Aruch Bet. I'm skipping and we'll go back. Shulchan Aruch Bet. Ha, that which we say. That's the riff. That's the Rambam. That's a very big opinion. That we say Onik Shabbat. Now, it doesn't mean you could do Malacha. It doesn't mean that you could do Tchum. We'll have to talk about those. But it means that's the reason for the word says in the Gemara. So therefore, you don't have to worry about the reason that we said about the fourth reason about it's like swimming. It's not like swimming. That we don't hold like. In terms of Malacha and Tchum, we really have to deal with. How to solve the issues of Tchum and how to solve the issues of Malacha. We have to solve those. We don't. That's still an issue. But in terms of, it's not like swimming. Now we say it's not. Okay. And then he adds, "Shekol shoshemim yishlam sar bilbul." 3 days, a guy is bothered because of seasickness. Afterwards, a guy gets used to it. So our boat today, lots of people say that people that are not bothered. So someone who usually goes on boats or a sea note that are nice and fancy, you know, they're mutar. That was what we said before. From lots of poskim, and then he says, "Davka mafligim biyamim hamaluchim." Okay, so even in Shulchan Aruch's day, there's different types of boats. He says it depends. It's only if you go in salt water, like in an ocean. Then there's storms and it's rocking back and forth and there's a lot of seasickness. But if it's like a river, and it's more calm, then there's no sar. Mutar lafliga filer Shabbat. You can go even on Arab Shabbat. Don't have to worry about the Onik Shabbat issue because we're not going to get seasick on this calmer water.
Right. So from now we see already that Maran post is not tchum. He doesn't.
Oh no, tchum. No. We have to deal with tchum.
Even according to Maran. Says mutar.
No, he just said. He said it was mutar. He's saying, in terms of Onik Shabbat, you want to know what the Gemara is talking about? It's all about Onik Shabbat. That says in the Maran. And if I can solve Onik Shabbat, it's mutar. That says so. Far. He didn't get to what about if it be a tchum issue? Okay, let me explain. Let me. I think I'm missing the
from
next.
The fact that he says mutar already, we know that it's a tchum.
Okay, so let me.
The tchum issue is already solved by Maran.
Okay, so let me go to the next line and then I'll explain. The next line. He throws in this caveat. he says, right over here, boo, and that's only if Shaliyah do a lot of shame, but come asar tachim. He throws in the caveat. Says, oh, don't stop where we stopped. You have to go on. It says, as long as there's not 10 tachim deep from the bottom of the floor to the boat.
If it's more than that.
Exactly. If it's more than that, it's mutar.
Oh, because if it's less than that, then it's tchum.
That's exactly the way to say it. Yes. The reshut for for tchum, for rishut, let's say hayachi, rishut harabim, let's say for example, goes up to 10 tefachim. A rishut often is up, judged by 10 tefachim. What about tchum? A person has shvita, a place where they live, and they're not allowed to go 2,000 amah more than that, like in the Sahara Desert.
If you go in there, that's not tchum.
So a guy, let's say a flock,
yeah.
Or a guy who goes on top, whatever. We'll have to see what exactly constitutes above 10 tefachim. But if they're above 10 tefachim, they can fly in the air. So is there tchum in above 10 tefachim? It's a big discussion in the Gemara and Erevin. Safek. They want to lose a teku. We're not sure what the answer is. What's the nafkamina? What was it? They, in their day, they weren't flying. So one nafkamina is going on a boat.
What? They were out exactly flying in the Gemara.
They didn't fly. No, but they have enough nafkamina. We're all talking about in a half a second. But the big nafkamina we're talking about here is going on boats. Going on a boat is a big nafkamina. Because the floor of the ocean to the boat, most places, except for when you get to shore, in the big ocean, it's going to be more than 10 tefachim. Hundreds of feet.
There is boats that even doesn't get, or what? Is the bottom of the boat?
Bottom of the boat.
Oh, right.
And some machloket about that. Do you go to the bottom of the boat, or you go by the person, where the person, the flight, the floor where people stand? But Maran goes with the bottom of the boat. The Ramah is going to go with the opinion. Brings an opinion. They go by where the floor of the people stand. For all our boats, that would be mutar, because the boats themselves are bigger than 10 tefachim. But we're going to go with the bottom of the boat. But even so, for most of the time, except for when they're close to shore, most boats today, when you're in the middle of the ocean,
a cruise will never get to 10 tefachim.
No, because they don't want to ruin the boat.
Yeah,
if they get so close, it could pierce the boat, scratch the boat. They dock, they bring it to docks. And the docks are like 100 feet away from the shore. They're not 200 or whatever, they're far away.
Yeah, of course.
And then you walk or whatever, they have some...
You cannot go out. I heard that one.
Yeah, I don't think that they bring the boat so close to the shore that...
I heard that if you are in the boat already, you cannot go out.
Yeah, because if you're going to go out, it's too deep. You can't walk there.
I heard that you cannot come in and back out from the book. I heard that.
Yeah, okay, so that's what we're saying now. That in terms of... Okay, so going back to the Gemara. So what's the maskana? Maskana is teiku. We're not sure. So we're not sure, so what do we do? We say, safek derab. Say, safek...
Deraban
and lakya. Safek deraban and lakya. Okay, so that is... why we're lenient about the tchum issue. Okay. And then... now, hold on, just to add. We have to deal with... just to clarify, there's two different parts. There's... You know what? Okay.
The sheet, the way we're spinning it right now, there's more.
Right now, we'll leave it at that. We'll talk about more tchum a little bit as we go on. Just to go back to the Gemara, though, about the tchum above the ten tefachim, the Gemara has a different nafkamina, a different discussion. What they're really talking about is, could Eliyahu HaNavi come on? Could Mashiach come on Shabbat? What's the difference? How do we know? Because if Eliyahu, if Eliyahu can come on Shabbat, the Mashiach can come the next day. He can come on Sunday. Why wouldn't Eliyahu be able to come on Shabbat?
Because we have a donkey.
So Eliyahu doesn't need Eliyahu. Okay, Eliyahu is going to be Vaser. Kol Mavaser Mavaser Mavaser. Eliyahu is going to be the one who's going to declare to everybody, Mashiach's coming tomorrow. Lefnei Bo Yom Gadol VeNora. Eliyahu,
can you do teshuvah before that day or not?
Yeah,
if he says
tomorrow, he's going to come and say tomorrow Mashiach is going to come.
We still have one day more.
Still can do teshuvah then. Eliyahu is going to come, and then we still have an opportunity to teshuvah. Mashiach is going to come right then, after the day after. So Eliyahu, could Eliyahu come on Shabbat? Discussion in the Gemara. Does he come on? The Gemara has. Does Mashiach come on Friday? We say no. Mashiach doesn't come on Friday because we're all getting ready for Shabbat. It's not. It wouldn't be nice.
Important Shabbat. Then.
Yeah, it's Tircha de Shabbat. The guy, people are working, are getting ready, preparing. It wouldn't be nice that we'd have the Mashiach come. So you know what we do. So the Gemara discusses, could Eliyahu come on Shabbat? So it says like this. It says, Eliyahu is going to come from Shemayim. He went in a fiery chariot up in Melachim. He went up to Shemayim. So he's going to come down from Shemayim. Shemayim is above 10 tefachim. Okay? So he's going to come to the earth within 10 tefachim. So he's going to travel and tell everybody, is he going to be violating Tchum wherever he comes from Shemayim? for more than 2,000 right right to come to tell us, tell all the Jews everywhere the Mashiach is going to be coming. So but is he going to be able to do that on Shabbat, or he can't travel more than 2,000 Rambam? So he was able to fly. The Gemara says he was able to fly. He was able to fly with eight flaps of his wings, so to speak. And he was able to move. And the Gemara has Malachim with four different. No, it's in Brachot. In Masechet Eruvin, in Brachot, it tells you how quickly he moved. The Malachim moved with four with flaps of their wings, and Eliyahu was slower and has other certain seraphim or like two different things. There was like a Rabbi Mansur once said, like the fact that it says Eliyahu Nabi with eight is like some gematria. There's something special about that. I don't remember what it was.
But
Eliyahu Nabi is going to come and tell everybody. So is he able to come in Shabbat? The Gemara says we don't know the answer to this question, and that's why after Shabbat, we're always hoping Mashiach wanted to come, and Eliyahu wanted to come, but wasn't able to come. So we dive in for Eliyahu, Moshe Shabbat. That's how people have songs that they sing it. El Anavi, exactly like that. Or in the Sephardi Havdalah, we often start with the Pasuk, Rishon Letzion, Hina Hina. Who is Rishon Letzion? The real Rishon Letzion is the first person back to Sion. And it's going to be Mevaser. Rishon Lezion, Hinei Nam. Rishalayim Mevaser. Mevaser. Who's Mevaser? Eliyahu. The Pasuk is talking about Eliyahu. The Pasuk is the Rishon Lezion. Eliyahu is the Rishon Lezion. He is the person who's going to come to Sion and tell everybody, everybody come back to Yerushalayim. Everybody come back to Yerushalayim. Because Mashiach's coming. That's the Pasuk. We don't start with that Pasuk for no reason. We start with that Pasuk because we're saying, we want Eliyahu, not going to come back. We're hoping, we're saying, look, Eliyahu, you couldn't come on Shabbat, but could you come now? Now's a good time for us. That's what we're asking. So that, you know, that's definitely built in. Also, I don't know if you've heard of this. Some Syrians don't say on Friday after we say Shir Shalom every day, we say Hoshiena. Hoshiena Shemalakenu and Kapsenu Mina Goyim. So
they don't say
it on Friday. Why on Friday we don't say it? We don't say Shabbat either. Because we know the Mashiach is not going to come on Fridays. And Eliyahu and Novi may not come on Shabbat. So we're not really saying Hoshiena and Tevas from the Goyim. And we're really waiting, really, hopefully, before or Moti Shabbat. We're going to take that. Anyway. But most Sephardim do say it. Anyway, they want to ask like the Brisker Rav. They ask the Brisker Rav. How do we say in the Rambam, you're supposed to believe Mashiach come at any time? Talks about the Gemara. Maybe he's not going to be able to come on Shabbat, or he can't come on Friday. How do we say that he can come at any time? Mashiach can come at any time. He said, "Look, when Mashiach comes on Friday, I'll ask him the question." Look, we have questions in life. We can, we have questions. We'll deal with it. This is the hardest question. I'll figure out a question. Ask me that. When Mashiach comes on Friday, I'll have to sit down and figure out what to answer. Anyway,
what's the definition of teiku?
Teiku, what we say is Tishbi Ya'aneh Kushur Ubayah.
Tishbi is really on Avi.
Yeah,
but
that's very nice and it's true. It's a good idea. But it's not what the Gemara meant. That's what I believe it comes from a Rishon, but definitely the Achronim say it like that. The reason that we say that we just said teiku means tishbi yaneh kushur ubayah. That's not really what the literal translation means. The literal translation, look in Jasher and other places. You look in the literal translation, all the Aruch or whatever. You look in the original translations of what teiku means in the Rishonim, it means let it stand. The word lahakim, whatever. Stand. Teiku means stop, like neku. Like it should be, it should stand. This ideal question should stand. It should stay the way it is, and we'll figure it out later. That's the literature. Let the question stand. Now, we translate it the way we just said, because it's true, we also believe that. We're going to ask, Heshiv Levo, Avod Al Banim, the last Mishnah. So Tah says that Eliyahu is going to Navi, the Heshiv Levo Avod. So what does it mean? Heshiv Levavot. So the Gemara and Sotah has an opinion. He's going to answer all the questions of the Banim, of the Banim, who means Tamid Chachamim, like Shinanta Levanech, all the children, everybody's going to hear all the questions. Heshiv Levavot. He's going to answer them up. That's how the Gemara and Sotah, that's how we say it. It's true, he's going to answer our question. The literal translation, Teiku probably doesn't mean he's going to answer the question. But it's a good idea to say and tell people that, because it's a true idea, and it helps us remember the fact that we're hoping. You know, the more we think about Eliyahu HaNavi, the more we think about Mashiach, the more we get into our consciousness, the more it's real, and the more that we get used to it and think about it. It's very important. Because otherwise, it's just like a far-off concept, you know, we never think about. So it's hard to, you know, hard to make it real for ourselves and anticipate Mashiach. Okay, so anyway.
She saw that and it was clean. She only became tummy right now. You will go back.
Okay, so if we know that where their boat is above 10 tefachim off the ground, mutar.
Okay. Why?
If it's less than 10, you're in a small stream. Asur.
She's
preoccupied.
Okay.
Fine. Let's see. Okay, that's the main things, and I'm bet. Let's go back now to Aleph. Try to get these through. Okay. Here we go. Motor laughing besvino a fill of Arab Shabbat in Mohammedbar Mitzvah. So now a big caveat
at some point,
even if it's a problem of Onik Shabbat.
We
can still find the kula, the Dvar Mitzvah, it's before Shin the Gemara. If you have to go for a mitzvah. For a mitzvah it's mutar. Why? Because they weren't so serious. They didn't say this because maybe it's gonna ruin your Shabbat. The Mako Mitzvah. So if you have to travel for a mitzvah, it's going to be okay. What's the traveling for a mitzvah? So we'll have to deal with it later. So they talk about it later, but the Shulchan Aruch sounds like, for example, a guy who wants to live in Israel. Mitzvah to live to Israel, go to Israel. Even to live in Israel, to go to Israel, to live there. It's true even today to have to live in Israel is a big mitzvah. And Chavam Adin has a tshuva. Should you go off your parents and you go, they don't want you to go, a big tshuva. He says, yeah.
The nature of it.
It's a mitzvah. It's still a mitzvah to live in Israel today. And if you're going on the boat, even on Friday, mutar, because you're going to Israel. What about if you're going to go to business? I need to go on a boat to get somewhere to sell goods. So is that a mitzvah? To going to go to business. Is that a mitzvah?
Goods? No, of course not.
That's what Shulchan Aruch says. It's not a mitzvah. There, Toso has an opinion that it's a mitzvah. Making money is a mitzvah. I never heard it. should give a drasha. Tell him this. Toso really says. The Toso Yishanim, one of the other Toso, Bala Toso, they ask. The Toso Yishanim says, where is a mitzvah to make money? So he doesn't give any answer. He says, there's no such thing as a mitzvah to make money.
So we're talking about after Tosh.
What the Pshad in the Ramah brings it to us, what he means really is, when we say Sorach Mitzvah, it means a big Sorach. It's very important, and it's going to be Mutar. Similar to Mitzvah is Parnasa. A different way of explaining is, the Gemara in Tanit says a story with Elfa and Rabbi Yochanan, Chavruta. Rabbi Yochanan, we all know, is a tremendous Gaon, the one who authored basically most of Talmud Yerushalmi, a big, big Talmud Chacham, first generation Amora. So Rabbi Yochanan had a Chavruta. Before Reish Lakish, when he was younger, first he had Reish Lakish, and then after Reish Lakish he died with the Zayin Hara. Then he tried; he never got another Charuta. That's very sad. But before this, when he was younger, he was in yeshiva. He was learning. So he had a Charuta named Ilfa.
Ilfa.
He comes up in Shas a few times, a dozen times. He comes up. So what happened with Ilfa? So they're learning, and then they had nothing to eat. Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan, lunch break, they had nothing. They were poor. They had nothing. So they said, okay, you know what? Let's go
get some food.
And Mekayim, yeah, let's go get some food, and they're not just going to get food. They had no money. They had no money at all. And they said, you know what? Look, we can't learn Torah forever. Main kamach and Torah. You can't the Mishnah per kamach. If you don't have money, you can't learn Torah. It's not. You can't sit there and have no money.
I'm sure they were very hungry when they said that.
So then what do they say? They said, look, we're going to go into business. And Mikayim, which pasuk? Eloye b'cha evyon. That it says in the pasuk in Re'eh that look, Hashem said that we shouldn't have poor people amongst the Jews. So look, we have to deal with that mitzvah. We have to deal with that pasuk to make person and person and parnasa. So you shouldn't be poor. And then they went and they stopped by a rock. They were walking, and they got tired. They stopped by a rock. I was sitting in the shade. And Melachim came, and we're talking to each other. And one of the angels said to the other, "You see these two guys? They're stopping to learn Torah, and now they're going to business. We should kill them. So let's take this boulder, push it on top of them." So Rabbi Yochanan, with a big tamacham, he understood, he was able to hear the angels, and he understood what they were saying. And he heard this, and he said, I'm going to go back to the yeshiva, because I could see Hashem doesn't like this idea that we're leaving the yeshiva. I'm not going to come with you. Do you want to come back with me to the yeshiva? I'll figure out some other way to make money. I don't have any money, but I'm not going into business. And Ilfa said, I have to go to make parnasah. Like, what are you going to do? He said, I don't have any plans. I'll figure it out. Nice. So he went and he went to business. He says, years later, they came back to the yeshiva, and he had some money, or he made some money. And Ilfa came back to the yeshiva, and he said, who's the Rosh Yeshiva? He said, oh, Rabbi Yochanan. He said, oh, you should know, I was the Chavruta. He said, you're a Talmud Chacham? He said, yeah. Years ago, I used to learn with him. So he said, ask me a challenge. I challenge you. Any question, if you can ask me any question from a Breita, anywhere, any Breita you can think of, ask me a Breita, and I'll prove you where I can find the earlier sources in Mishnah for that Breita. There's no Breita you can find. You can challenge me to not find a source for it earlier.
Maybe it's not even good even afterwards, because it's not good.
So people, and if you do, and if you challenge me and I'm wrong, I'll, it says an expression, I'll jump into the ocean, I'll commit suicide, sounds like. So they challenged him, and they asked him, and he gave answers. Anyway, but it sounds like, I forgot that one of the punchlines has, Rabbi Yochanan said, I want to go back to the yeshiva. I can't, you know, I hear that Hashem doesn't want me to do this. I went back to the yeshiva. But he says, but look, you're going to be poor. He said, and you're not supposed to be poor? Said, don't worry. There's another pasuk. When there's a poor person, you're going to give him tzedakah. And then patoch tiftach, and give him tzedakah. So look, there's two pasuk. So okay, there is such a concept, for sure, for sure. There's much more than just a tiny concept that the person's supposed to make parnasa. That Gemara is just one example. But it says, in Brachot, Avchadim and Aleph, it says,
it was an issue since then, there was an issue.
Yeah. Tov yagia kapachim yoter, Ashrei yagia kapayim yoter miyer shemayim. Greater is the man who works and toils to make money than the person who has a lot of yershamayim. It says, the pasuk in Tehillim, Ashrei yagia kapecha, ashrecha v'tov lach, ashrecha v'lam v'zeh, tov lach v'lam v'ba. Yeah, very good. So then that's, anyway, and then Rabbi Yishmael, Brachot Lamed Hayim Abed, says, Pasuk, it's a mitzvah to work the field, to make parnasah, asat t'diganecha, we read every day in Krishma. Rabbi Yishmael, that's Rabbi Yishmael. And then it says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, nah, if you work all the field, you're not going to have any time to learn Torah. What are you supposed to do? He said, no. It means the goyim are going to work the field for you. No, that means the goyim will deal with that if you're going to work. So really, okay, Hashem will provide parnasa for you. And said, a lot of people tried to do like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and they didn't succeed. And then a lot of people tried like Rabbi Shmuel, and they succeed. So Maran in Chelik Ben Mishamra, Maran in Or Chaim, Ezra's all hechot. There's one siman about going to business. He writes like Rabbi Yishmael. He says it's a mitzvah to go to work.
So that's part of the mitzvot that you could take a sfinah or not?
No, we don't paskin like that opinion in Tosfot. We hold it's chashuv. It's important. It's not like tariag mitzvot. It's a sorach. Just like eating and sleeping and exercising.
Yeshem shamayim, you have a mitzvah.
That's what the Rambam says, exactly, yeah. Very good. So anyway, so Dvar Mitzvah is going to be mitzvah, like making aliyah, or giving a shiur Torah, or stuff like that. It's going to be mitzvah.
That's coming to yeshiva.
Coming to yeshiva is going to be mitzvah. Exactly like that Rabbi Spinner example I said before. Yeah. All right. Poseki mo shishbot. Okay. You should tell the non-Jew, even though we're going to go right before Shabbat, you should tell him, I don't want you to travel on Shabbat. Okay. Even if he doesn't listen to you, that's okay. Because you can't tell him that I want him to travel and do malacha for me on Shabbat. Okay. Fine. But for vacation, for optional reasons, you can't go on the boat within 3 days of Shabbat. Okay? Kodim Shal Shiyamim Shari, that's what the Mishnah, the Ramah says, before 3 days are going to be Mutar, Afilo Suna Moshech HaRotali Debehem Od, even if there's going to be animals dragging it, Afilo Yem Begova Mayim Asar Tvachim, even if it's not, even if it's close to the bottom of the river. Wait a minute, that's Tchum Yeshu. So Mishra Rebbe says here we're talking about it's going to be impossible at that point like to get off, it's going to be necessary, Begoch Nefesh, whatever, you have to keep going. But even if it means the Israel is going to be mechallel Shabbat, obviously it means mechallel Shabbat peheter, like because nefesh and stuff like that. But still, you're not supposed to get on the boat. But okay, if it's more than 3 days for Shabbat, you're allowed to get on the boat for Shabbat. Okay, but if it's a very short trip, okay, if it's a very short trip, and you're going to get on the boat and off the boat before Shabbat, this is not a Shabbat cruise. Everything until now we're talking about going on and staying on Shabbat. Getting on Friday or Wednesday or Tuesday and staying on Shabbat. Now what about going on Friday and getting off on Friday? That's mutar. Totally fine. It doesn't have to be Dvar Mitzvah. But it has to be that you're sure that you're going to be able to get there. Okay? It was very relevant. We'll talk about it other times, but taking airfare, flights, or trains, and stuff like that, and stuff gets delayed, and then you're stuck.
You don't want to fly on Friday morning. It's not the right thing to.
No. You can fly on Friday morning if you're going close, like if you're going to California. The whole flight is 5 hours, and then you have 3 hour difference. That's fine. You're going to Chicago, or you're going to. How far is Panama from here?
5 hours.
But so 5 hours, so you can do that Friday morning.
You can, but it's not the ideal thing.
It's not ideal here. But
we could not chip away from the long one. We wouldn't chip away.
It's different Friday afternoon. That would be that would for sure be a problem. Because Friday afternoon, you're going to cut it so close that if it gets delayed a little bit, you're going to be stuck. So that you definitely shouldn't do so close.
They would have a built-in
that's for sure. But makom shenahaguf, they have a minhag not to go on Fridays at all. Some have a minhag not to travel on Fridays at all. Avila d'Ramon, Eim Avligan. Today we don't really have that minhag not to travel on Fridays. But there was a Chafetz Chaim that he had a practice not to travel after Chatzot, after half the day on Friday, not to travel after half the day. So he had to travel, he would do that. So I don't think most people have such a practice. But there is such a, but the idea is to protect protect Shabbat, to show that like we're not traveling very close up to Shabbat. You know, if you need to come back from work and you need to get somewhere far. The more you plan and think about it in advance and you prepare, you're not going to be running until the last second, the better. The guy is getting out of work at 6 o'clock and Shabbat's at 7 o'clock and he's getting in traffic. Like, part of it is, work's really tough, but part of it is you have to plan, you have to think about it before and you have to see what we can do to get out earlier. Because if you don't plan it, then it's not going to work. So, that's the Chafetz Chaim. That's a very. They have a story that there's a nice story. Once there was a couple, Pesach crones that he heard from the family. There was a family in England. He said he met that said the following when in the 1930s the Chafetz Chaim passed away at 32. He was old. He was very old, and he wasn't well. He was in his 90s, and there was a couple that just had a baby, and the baby was very unhealthy. The baby wasn't doing well, and the doctors thought the baby was going to die. So they went to all the doctors, no one helped. They went to all the people to daven for them, nothing was doing, and they were sad. They had no hope that their child would live. Someone said, why don't you go to the Chafetz Chaim? He always gives bracha, and maybe you go to him, and he'll pray for your child. So they said, okay, so they traveled, they went. They went to the Chafetz Chaim, but he wasn't healthy. So they said, sorry, you can't go to visit the Chafetz Chaim to come into his house because he wasn't well. He couldn't see anybody. So they asked They asked the Chafetz Chaim. They asked his nephew. They asked someone who was a relative. Please, we traveled so far. We really need. And the child's sick. We only have one child. The child is not well. We need to see the Chafetz Chaim. So, okay, fine, fine. We'll try to find some time. You can't see the Chafetz Chaim because he's not well. But come in the room. And maybe if he just sees you, he'll decide to, he'll try to give you, he'll give you a bracha. Okay, so they went in the room where the Chafetz Chaim was, and then he saw the child, the couple, and he could tell they were sad and crying, whatever. So he said, okay, so what's the situation? So we only have one child, and after a long time we're trying to get a child, we had a child, the child is very, very sick, and all the doctors say he's going to die. Can you give us a bracha? So he said, okay, I'll give you a bracha on condition that you take upon yourself that you don't travel after Chatzot. The wife already prepared the table for Shabbat from Chatzot. Everything's already basically ready. And you don't do any malachot after 18 minutes. After you light candles 18 minutes before Shabbat, no malachot. You can do malachai after 18 minutes before the Shkia, before the sunset. He said, I want to take upon yourself these three things. And I said, after they took on those three things, the child did well. They never had any other children, but the child did well, and they lived. And he did well. So they asked the nephew, he said, well, what is the bracha? Why did the Chafetz Chaim say that you have to do this? Is it because the Chafetz Chaim used to say that if Hashem... because it says, V'shamru b'nei Yisrael Shabbat, V'asur Shabbat, L'dorota. Those who protect Shabbat will be able to keep it for generations.
Since every case now becomes
meaning, he said, look, if you're going to keep Shabbat so carefully, Shomer Shabbat, you're anticipating Shabbat, you're protecting Shabbat, then you're going to be able to keep it for generations. Your children will live to see Shabbat and be able to keep Shabbat. So that was his bracha. But in other words, the whole point of this is to say, this idea that Chafetz Chaim had, and he was very, very careful, was like, not to run a Shabbat 3.5 seconds before Shabbat and be crazy. Yeah, because it happens, but like that's not, a lot of it could be avoided by preparing.
Something I hate is that when the Shabbat is over, like in my synagogue in Panama, they rush to Arvit. They rush to the Amidah. It's like, wait a second. I'm in like, and they already
Say Shabbat.
What? You read the words even? Like, that's what I how is it possible that you went so quick? Why? You want to use your phone to check the WhatsApp? That's it.
All right, well, okay, different. Everybody has their srachim, but yes, there is a beauty to someone who appreciates Shabbat going in and going out. They take it slow, and there's a kedusha of Shabbat. The more a person draws on the kedusha of Shabbat, the more it enhances the rest of their week, for sure. Shabbat is lashon like tshuva, shavet. The Kaf HaChaim says the more the person comes closer to Hashem on Shabbat, the person is drawn closer to Hashem. It gives him siyat tishma for the whole week. A person can do tshuva all week, he says, but a person doesn't get accepted before Kosh Baruch Hu except on Shabbat. Because a person does like tshuva mihira during the week and tshuva mihava.
I went swimming already. Yeah, the pool's open if anyone wants to.
Alright, so that's going to be the idea for tonight. Okay. Yeah,
that's a good idea for next Shabbat to start a little bit early. Mm.